And it is time once again for Radio Rotary. Scott is here. Scott?
Thank you. I'm here.
He's here. Okay.
I am here today. This is your host.
What about tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. Just on Fridays, 12
Just on
o'clock.
Fridays. Okay.
This is your host, Rotarian Scott Myers, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210. And today we have an amazing person and foundation that fund that she will be talking about. And the fund is called the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Children's Fund, and it's dedicated to improving the lives of American Indian children, families, and communities, dedicated to preserving, celebrating, and honoring the values, cultures, and traditions of American Indian nations. And we have with us today Eileen Charbonneau. Thank you, and welcome, Eileen.
Thank you for inviting me, Scott.
It's my pleasure. I love having you come and visit with us, but we have some questions to ask you. I hope you know the answers.
I'll make them up if I don't. I'm a storyteller.
Oh, right.
as long as it's a good story.
That's right. Eileen Charbonneau is a famous author. She has 14 books, written 14 books. She is a professional storyteller of Native American and Celtic stories. She has a group called Class Act, which goes to schools and libraries, and we'll find out from her. Let's ask you that question right now. What is Class Act?
Class Act are three people with, I think at last count, we have about 70 years experience total in theater. And we formed this troupe, an educational theater troupe, where we go to schools or to libraries. And we've got a couple of programs. One is called The Three Cinderellas, which is about Cinderellas of three different cultures and how we're kind of hot-wired for that story. There are over 700 versions of Cinderella's worldwide. We have another one called Introduction to Greek Theater, where we teach the kids how to make masks and do a little mini Greek theater to teach them about chorus and how Greek theater is quite relevant in today's society. We have another one called Hats Off to the 50 States, which is a really fun romp through all 50 states in 50 minutes. We have a lot of fun with that one.
What age levels are your?
We do do the programs as appropriate to whoever hires us. So if it's for, we start about third grade, so we can go third grade all the way up through high school.
The third grade through high school.
Mm-hmm.
Professional storyteller Eileen Charbonneau is visiting with us today. And Eileen, now if someone wanted to contact you about this Class Act and hire them for their camp or school or library, how would they get in touch with you?
Oh, we have a post office box in Cold Spring. So you could say a Class Act, post office box 20, Cold Spring, New York, 10516. Or you can get in touch with Eileen Charbonneau at Eileen Charbonneau, my name. I'll spell it out, EileenCharbonneau at gmail.com. And also biznet. I think it's biznet.com.
I would get in touch with Eileen.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about the last one. Oh.
No, I think today you're going to be talking about the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund, which has been in existence for over 18 years, serving the Indian children of this nation. What is your relationship? How did you? What is your background? What is your heritage?
My own heritage includes Native American. I have two grandmothers in my line, one of the Huron ancestry, two of the Huron ancestry, and I'm also related to the Shoshone, so I'm related to both the Eastern nation and a Western nation.
So Sacagawea is a...
Sacagawea.
It's
like the sea in Chicago. All of you who look at those gold coins and wonder who that is on that, that's Sacagawea. And she was a great help on the Lewis and Clark Expedition 1804 to 1806 across
and they made
the
dollar,
Louisiana Territory.
A dollar quarter? I mean dollar,
A dollar coin. It's coin. A gold one. And it's got her and her baby son Jean-Baptiste, who General Clark called, or Captain Clark called, Pump.
That is great.
Shoshone.
So we're sitting next to a very famous person today, and you're listening to Eileen Charbonneau, who is a Class Act herself. Now,
thank you, Scott.
Eileen, so the Jean-Baptiste, does that mean you're also French voyageur?
Yes. That's how they kind of got out to the West there, lit out for the territories. My first ancestors came over in 1649, and by the time we got to the second generation, they were lighting out for the territories and trading the furs. in that great fur trade, that great mountain man period of Canadian and American history, and they were voyageurs.
So you can see that Eileen is very well qualified to be part of the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund. And so now let's find out what this is. What is the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund?
It's a wonderful fund that funds three basic programs. One is a service learning program. The other one is Building Bridges, which is a cultural exchange, between between schools in very different communities, both native and non-native. And then the third is a series of scholarship grants that we've given over the years.
We're going to explore each of those three areas and in a moment, but let's find out who George Bird Grinnell was. Do you know, can you give us a little information about George Bird Grinnell?
I love George Bird Grinnell because
write a book
of
about
life,
him.
The life he made, the life he had was great. He was a fortunate son from the last Gilded Age, right after the Civil War. There was a lot of money being made, and he came from a privileged background. He went to Yale, along with Alexander Graham Bell's son, and the son of, railroad magnates and steel magnates. And they had no worries. They had no financial worries. They were a bunch of Yalies, and they wanted to know what to do in the summertime. And they heard that there were these dinosaur bones that were discovered out in the Badlands of the Dakotas. And he got a group of his friends together, and they said, why don't we go out there and check out these dinosaur bones? So sure enough, the railroad had just, 1869 was when the Transcontinental Railroad went across, so that whole land was opening up in a much more convenient way. You didn't have to go by wagon train anymore. So they went out there and, you know, got their packs together and got up to the Badlands. And I don't know what happened to all those other fortunate sons, but I know what happened to George Bird Grinnell. He fell in love with the native people of that area. They were still living in the traditional way. They weren't like the eastern tribes that had pretty much been shoved west. Of course, we are still here, but there were people who are living there, you know, the Lakota people and the Arapahos and the Blackfeet and the Cheyenne were still living in the traditional ways. And he didn't look down on them, didn't condescend to them. He honored them and appreciated them and thought that all Americans could be a little bit more like this and we might be better off. So he studied them. He picked up their ways. They turned into the ways of conservation. So he was the father, one of the fathers of the conservation movement. Now he came out every summer since then for the rest of his Yale career. One of those summers, he couldn't make it. And it was a good thing that he couldn't make it because his first contact out there was George Custer, because he was in charge of the natives out there. The one year that he didn't make it was 1876, which was, of course, Little Bighorn. If he had made it that year, he would have been massacred along with George Custer. So I'm really glad that he didn't go out that year, because the rest of his life was this wonderful giving life. He was so appreciated by the people out there that both the Blackfeet and the Cheyenne adopted him into their tribes. And in Native American tradition, it's not your blood that makes you a native, it's how you act. If you act like a Cheyenne, you're a Cheyenne. If you act like a Blackfeet, you're a Blackfeet. And two of the tribes adopted him. So he was officially became a native himself because the people so loved him and so appreciated what he was trying to do to both honor the land, become a keeper of the land, a keeper of the animals. He really acted in an Indian way.
Well, we're talking with Eileen Charbonneau, who's talking about the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund, which is housed with the Millbrook Rotary now. And she's also been talking about who George Bird Grinnell is and how he went out west and studied with Custer and on his scientific expeditions into the Black Hills and brought those artifacts, such as the dinosaur bones, back to Yale. And then the funny story you just told about Custer's his last stand, it wasn't Grinnell's last stand because he sent the telegram out to Custer and said, I can't meet you in whatever month that was, May or something, and I'll meet you in June at railhead number so-and-so, so let me talk to you then. So now we're going to take our first break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Eileen about the three different areas that the Grinnell Fund works with.
This is a tree that was never chopped down to make a crutch that was never needed. by a child who never got polio, because medicine was never in short supply, thanks to people whose compassion wasn't either. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Thanks to them, the world will soon be polio-free. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Oh, thank you. That was great from the Rotary PSA. And now we're back, and we're talking with Eileen Charbonneau, the famous Eileen Charbonneau, author of 14 books, professional storyteller, Native American. She is part of a class act, and she is a class act. And now we're going to discuss the George Bergenell American Indian Fund and how it came to be part of the Millbrook Rotary. So, Eileen, what happened to the Millbrook, to the George Bergenell Fund to make it come part of Rotary?
The George Bergenell Fund was set up by a descendant of George Bird Grinnell to honor him and his work with the Native Americans and his love for the Native Americans. And it existed on its own for 18 years in those three capacities. He endowed it with a great deal of money at the time. But what we found out as we were dispensing the money from this fund is that we were much better at giving away money than we were at getting donations. We tried to find angels for a long time, and pretty soon we couldn't let down these kids that we were giving this money to and these people from all over the Indian Nation. So we just started taking it out of the principal. And if anybody has a fund knows when you start doing that, that's the end of the fund. So we started to not getting a lot of trying as we might to get contributions, and we realized we were in a holding pattern and we were ready to go down. Now we thought there were three ways we could go down. We could just give away the rest of the money and go quietly into that good night, or we could give the money that was left to a couple of the Indian nations, probably the ones that honored George Bird Grinnell, or we could keep the work of the fund going by passing it on to Millbrook Rotary, and they graciously accepted our offer to do that, and that's how it exists today under the auspices of the Rotary.
Right, that's a wonderful story, and it's sad that the Grinnell Fund couldn't get money, because each of the programs is amazing, and we're going to talk about the first program, which is Service Learning. It's like an interact club, and we discussed this. I'm a Millbrook Rotarian, so I know a bit about this. The service learning program that we did on the Apache Reservation, the Mescalero Apache Reservation in New Mexico, was we had there for 7 years, and it was our goal to put an interact on every single reservation and build it up from there, and then the Rotaract and the Rotary. Unfortunately, after 7 years, the Key Club from Kiwanis, or fortunately, I guess, came in and took over our program. And the Rotary there in New Mexico didn't want to sponsor it. So the Key Club took it, so still going. But before the Key Club came in, the state of New Mexico took our idea of this community learning, the service learning, the interact idea, and decided that every high school and school in New Mexico needed to do the same thing. And so they did took our idea, the way we had it set up, and the goals, and they took that program and adopted it for all of the schools in New Mexico. So we did have a good thing that really happened. And it started with the high school students, and then it went to the middle school and on all the way down to kindergarten. And the Grinnell Fund did things like buy a bus so that the students could go from the school to the senior center or to the hospital and do community service work on the different places there. And one little girl who was, I believe, 6 years old. When asked what did she feel about doing this kind of community service, she said it put a glow in her heart. And I thought that was a terrific, terrific thing. It put a glow in her heart. So that's the service learning program, which someday Rotary may come back to, hopefully, and put interacts on all of the reservations and continue this this work. So that was one of our service learning programs. There were some others, but that was the major one. So now we're going to talk about the Building Bridges program, which is a cultural exchange between Native Americans and a school here in the United States. Eileen, tell us some programs that have happened with that?
This was such a wonderful program. I want to really let the children speak for themselves, because their exchange, it was both a letter exchange, of course, this in this day and age, it's email, And it was 13 and 14 years old, year olds. And at the end of the letter exchange, they actually sent ambassadors to each other's school and visited for a week. And it was absolutely magnificent. It was so wonderful how we can learn from our children. I'd love to read a couple of the letters.
Absolutely,
if that's
okay.
Go
right ahead.
Here's how it started, them introducing each other. Now, we're in the Blackfoot reservations in the foothills of the Dakotas there in Hart Butte, Montana. The other school was a Jewish school in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, my name is Kimberly Heavyrunner. I live in Hart Butte, Montana. I am a Blackfeet Indian, live on the reservation with my parents and grandparents. I have 8 brothers and sisters, but 2 of my brothers passed away. I have 2 horses, Cowboy and Lightning Jack. My front yard is the front of the Rocky Mountains. Hello, I am Max. I am 12 years old and I love to play baseball. I live in Washington, D.C. There are a lot of people here, so you can never have some peace and quiet. Dear friends, hi, my name is Raleigh Comes at Night. When I go to powwows, I Indian dance. I eat Indian tacos there, too. They're really good. My dad is on dialysis for his kidney. He will be getting a kidney transplant soon. He is on the national waiting list. Hi, my name is Gilead. Your name sounds so cool. My name is only one word, but it means miracle. Every Friday night, we say a few blessings over wine and bread and light candles in order to welcome the Sabbath. Saturday is usually a day to relax and not work. I like it because it's a holiday that happens every week. I think you must have a close community. It's going to be cool writing to you. What's up? I'm Ben. I live with my mom, dad, and younger brother. I think I like being a kid. I can't imagine what it's like when I'm old and soggy. Please write back. Dear Ben, no worries. See, I wrote back old and soggy. I just want to tell you, you're funny. I did a report on the Holocaust. I got an 85. I think it was very wrong what Hitler did to you guys. I mean it. My people died of smallpox and massacres and stuff like that. Here's a letter from Yarden. Hi, my name is Yarden. I just had my bat mitzvah. It's when a young person is welcomed into the adult Jewish community. It was wonderful. It's definitely one of those moments you will remember all your life. I wore a really cute pink dress with sparkles. I love shopping. If it was a sport, I would be a champion. Okai Nikiado. That means hello. My name is Megan. I am 14. I live with my parents and 3 brothers. Right now it's snowy and windy, so there are lots of drifts. The most exciting thing about building bridges to me is that I get to learn about a new place, new people, and a new religion. Here's a wonderful exchange. Hi, my name is Tim. I'm 13 and I live in Hart Butte with my grandma and grandpa. My favorite things to do include riding bikes, singing in drum groups, ours is called Young Horse, and playing basketball. I'm also big into hunting. Last year, we shot 2 elk, 1 deer, and 1 grouse. Do you guys enjoy the outdoors? My name is Shana. I live in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Here, we don't hunt. I've never met someone who does. I'm a vegetarian. School starts at 8 in the morning and ends at 3:45. I go home on the metro subway train. We learn Hebrew and Torah. I like being Jewish, but I want to learn about Native Americans. What traditions and holidays do you observe? Nice to meet you. Dear Shana, hi. It's your friend from Montana. How are you doing? Dude, I don't know any vegetarians. I never had even a friend who was one. Well, I did have a cousin, and she said she was one, but once I saw her eat meat, and I was like, Rusty Shell, are you a vegetarian? And she said she was, but then she said she was just picky about her food. My name is Brendan, and I am very attractive. I live with my grandparents. I think it's awesome that you hunt. Surprisingly, hunting is not very popular around here. I apologize for the girls in our group who are all like, hunting is wrong. I am Irish. By the time they got to the end and they got to the ambassadors, these kids were really telling, we were really going heart to heart with each other. It was a real lesson to us all on how to get along and how to appreciate each other's cultures.
Oh, Eileen, that's magnificent. We've been talking with Eileen Charbonneau, who is the secretary of the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund, and she's a professional storyteller of Celtic and Native American stories. She's a class act. I mean, she has a group called the Class Act, which goes to schools and libraries. If you want to get in touch with her, please do. She's the author of 14 books, and she's talking about the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund, which is now housed with the Millbrook Library. So now going to some other history, we're going to have our pause for Presidential Brainiac. Are you ready? Three questions.
I am ready.
I know JP would be ready. Whose motto was the buck stops here?
Truman's.
You didn't give Harry Truman is correct, I bet. Yes, it is. And President Truman has had a desk sign engraved with the motto in his White House office. On the side of the sign that faced Truman were the words, "I'm from Missouri." Did you know that?
No, that I didn't know. But what is the significance of being from Missouri?
He grew up there.
No. Well, when someone says, "I'm from Missouri," it means something else than just, "I'm from Missouri."
What does it mean?
It's the show me state, so you have to show me.
I'm showing you, all right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Next question. Which president was the first to have his mother in attendance at his inauguration?
Oh, I'll try Theodore Roosevelt. No.
Close, but no cigar.
Wrong Roosevelt?
No. James A. Garfield.
Ah.
The first thing Garfield did after his inauguration was kiss his mother, Elizabeth Bailey Garfield. Very nice mother. Okay, which president... The last question. Which president had a campaign banner featuring the phrase, "The Union must and shall be preserved"?
Well, Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln used this banner during the 1860 elections. Good job, and President Brainiac is put to bed for another show. I think it is time, though, for another break for our...
We can do that.
PTDS or PSA, whatever you call it, from Rotary.
Alone, our reach is limited. No matter how great our intentions, on our own, we can only stretch so far. But at Rotary, we believe the right group of people working together can make our communities, our world, a better place. Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Learn more at Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Well, thank you, and we're back, and we're talking to with Eileen Charbonneau and the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund, which is housed with the Millbrook Rotary now. And anybody who would like to give a donation to that fund, please send it to the Millbrook Rotary Foundation. And all donations are accepted, of course. Now, the last program, we've talked about service learning, which is community service, like an interact on the reservation with the Mescalero Apache. And we have talked a little bit about building bridges. There's a lot more to talk about with that program, which is a cultural exchange program between schools. But the ones that Eileen talked about was the Heart Butte on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana with a school in Chevy Chase. Is that right? Chevy Chase, Maryland?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Washington D.C. It was a school there. And she had some very interesting emails that went back and forth between them. And another program that the George Bird Grinnell American Indian Fund does is the Scholarship Awards. And these are, again, we call them building bridges. They are scholarships which are not, I'm sorry, not scholarships, awards, grants, which allow the students to, say, finish their schooling. They can get, their level of income is so low that they can easily get the full scholarships, but they need to have some sort of bridging money to maybe buy a bike or a computer, or to, if they're a single mom, to have a babysitter. And that's what these grants are for, to allow them to go maybe buy some books, allow them to actually go to school, even though, you know, they've gotten the scholarship, but they can't go to school because they don't have a babysitter, they don't have a bicycle, they don't have a whatever it is. So let's hear some stories from Eileen on some recipients of the awards. And she's got some here for us. And Eileen, give us some examples.
Okay. Our awards are so different from other scholarship awards in two ways. One, they're made directly to the students, as Scott was saying. The other scholarships are made to the universities. And I've talked with clan mothers about this, and they feel very, very badly sometimes that these kids can get the scholarship awards to Stanford, to all kinds of schools. And then they are so demoralized when they get there because they can't get home. They don't have the money to get home. They don't have money for all kinds of resources, computers, a bike just to get around campus, anything they need. But we decided the Grinnell Fund to honor the students by giving it directly to them. And so you find ways that you need to spend the money, and it's kind of an honor of. As a person to person kind of thing. And the second way is that it's full of hands-on support. Our president was on the phone to these young people and old people alike. There are no age limits to the support. And to their families, to their parents, to their husbands, wives, children, constantly saying, how's everything going? How did the semester go? What do you need? Is there something else we can do to give you your support? And that was immeasurable in the lives of these children and students. So here's one from Ray Campbell. He's a member of the Gila River Pima Nation. Unlike most scholarship agencies, Ray says, the George Bernard Bird Grinnell Fund desires to be actively involved with its recipients, which shows a great deal of dedication and interest in the lives of those who would benefit from this award. Thank you for taking such an interest. And I'm proud to say that Ray did graduate. A lot of these kids who get other kind of scholarships without the support and without giving directly to them do not complete their studies. We have a 98% graduation rate, which is unheard of in any of the other scholarship awards. So following his graduation, Ray wrote us again. We've become like family to them. It's so great. They send us our pictures and their caps and gowns, and it's just really wonderful. So following his graduation, he said, well, I did it. I graduated with honors in biochemistry and won the Outstanding American Indian Senior Award at the University of Oklahoma. None of this would have been possible without your support. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Here's Melissa Kitzer, who's a member of the Cherokee Nation, and she says, my ninth great-grandfather was a Cherokee chief in North Carolina, and I have traced him and his descendants across the Trail of Tears to modern-day Oklahoma. I would like to give back to my community and my tribe. I want to be the best teacher I can possibly become, and I especially want to encourage others to teach or work in human services. Melissa, another one of our proud graduates, and following her graduation, she said, I'm very grateful for your continued fund and support. I received a silver medallion and magna cum laude. I sincerely hope that others may know your generosity and kindness.
That's amazing. And you're absolutely right with the retention rate, 98% or better. Just incredible how carefully we select our recipients, how we've gotten, I believe, applications from 49 different states for the George Bernard. Mm-hmm. And it's now housed with the Millbrook Rotary, and donations can be made to the Millbrook Rotary Foundation in care of for the George Bernard Grinnell Fund. And it will help Native Americans all across this land. We've talked about three different areas that the George Bernard Grinnell American Indian Fund covers: service learning, for example, on the Mescalero Apache Indian Reservation. We've talked about building bridges, which is a cultural exchange. And we have talked about what we call our scholarships or our building grant awards as well. And the George Bernard Grinnell American Indian American Indian Children's Fund is dedicated to improving the lives of American Indian children, families, and communities, dedicated to preserving, celebrating, and honoring the values, cultures, and traditions of American Indian nations. So there's a lot of wonderful things that have happened throughout. Eileen's been on the board for a number of years.
Seven years
mm-hmm. or so. In those seven years, do you have a particular story that you'd like to share in the last minute?
I loved us coming together at board meetings. Has been wonderful. And on our board are not bigwigs. Oh, of course, Scott, we're all bigwigs. Scott's a great bigwig. But we had several Native American people, Joe Bushak, an Abnaki storyteller, Julene McKnight, who a Blackfeet, and myself, Henrietta Mann. And we would start each meeting with a prayer from one of our board members who was a minister, and then we'd have a Native American prayer as well. So even within our own board, we were doing this cross-cultural appreciation and honoring of each other's culture. And they were sacred moments to me. They were really wonderful.
Yeah, and again, Eileen is a member of the Class Act group, and if you want to have her come and be a storyteller at your school or library, she has a group, and they go and they give great presentations. She is a professional storyteller, author of 14 books, and today we've been talking with Eileen Charbonneau and about the George Bernard Grinnell American Indian Fund. Donations can be made to the Millbrook Rotary Foundation, and if you want to find any other information, if you want to hear these shows again, go to Rotary District 7210, do in the search engine, and there is a link on there to do this. And you can listen to this show again And you can also give donations to keep the show on the air. We need all the help we can get. So this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210, signing off for another day. Thank you.